I'd like to call the meeting to order, and I'd like to ask Councillor Orlico to act as the chair, considering the application is in the Fort Rougis Fort Garry wards. That's our usual custom, is to not have the ward councillor chairing, so I'll pass the chair to Councillor Orlico.
Okay. If you just want to introduce.
Well, thank you for coming, everybody, tonight. We'll quickly move in. I'll just introduce. We have a number of our city staff here today. Thanks for making it. A member of administration and also our city clerk, Josie, that will be carrying us through this process. So again, thank you for coming tonight, and now I hand it over to our clerk.
All persons who wish to speak or receive notice of the hearing body's decision recommendation today must fill out one of these forms and hand it to me as soon as possible. Copies of this form can be found as you came up the stairs. In accordance with the City of Winnipeg Charter and the Development Procedures Bylaw, the process that the committee will follow is that the applicant will be heard first, followed by those in support of the application. Next, those registered are in opposition are heard, followed by those registered for information. Finally, the applicant may return if they so desire and speak in rebuttal. Please note that when your name is called, it is your opportunity to speak. However, you are not obligated to do so. You may just indicate you just want to be registered. This is a public hearing process brochure, copies of which are available at the registration table. This brochure contains an overview of the process and other information pertaining to what happens before, during, and after a public hearing. As information, all public hearings are digitally recorded and will be part of the public record. Should you have any questions after the public hearing is concluded, please contact the City Clerk's Department at the number listed in the brochure. Item 1 is a subdivision of rezoning at west of Argue Street, east of Rail Right-of-Way, known as the Fort Rouge Yards, under file DASZ 33 of 2010. If the applicants could come forward, please. These are people in support.
You get it all together? If you could just state your name and the names of your group, I guess.
Sure, absolutely. I'd be happy to introduce us. My name is Adam Dooley. I'm the president of Dooley Communications. I've been working with the developer, Lexington Investment Corporation, on their public consultation process. Joining me here tonight are architects Jeff Zoina and Todd White. Bill Cavanaugh is our consulting engineer on traffic, and Shane Cooper is our consulting engineer on sewage and water. Also joining us here is Larry Carter, who's the president of Lexington Investment Corporation, and he's just to my rear. So thank you very much, and it's great to see such a great turnout here tonight. We've had a fantastic turnout throughout our public consultation process, and we're very pleased about that, though not surprised. As Lord Roberts, residents are very proud of their area, and I know for one, because I am one. So we're proposing to turn the Fort Rouge Yards into the first modern transit-oriented development in Winnipeg's history. This is an historic and exciting opportunity to convert an unused and overgrown industrial site into a stylish and eco-sensitive residential development. Ironically, or maybe fittingly, Riverview and Lord Roberts were sort of a transit-oriented development when they were first built over 100 years ago, side by each as they were next to the Park streetcar line. And they were very successful at the time, and we believe this is a great opportunity to make them just as successful for the new century. Transit-oriented development has been embraced by cities around the world because it reduces sprawl in favor of putting new residential development in existing areas already supported by city services. Our vision is to create a vibrant, walkable community that takes full advantage of the new transit corridor while invigorating a beautiful, leafy, century-old neighborhood. It's ideal when the community around the infill has had some declining population, as this one has, because developments such as this can restore and really revive neighborhoods like Lord Roberts. Transit-oriented development has been embraced, as I said, by cities right across North America. In Canada, it's used extensively in Toronto, Victoria, Vancouver, and recently, it's worth noting, just within the last month, Calgary had two transit-oriented development towers sell out in less than 8 days, and that just is testimony to the popularity of this sort of urban living in Canada today. The location, as has already been indicated, is west of Argue Street in the former Fort Rouge rail yards. We're proposing to build 400 townhouse units and 500 mid and high-rise units. The development will bring new families to the neighborhood, add new green space and active transportation pathways, while helping to invigorate local schools, community centers, and businesses. This is a $200 million investment, one of the most significant private investments the city has seen in recent years. We have a long-term stake in the area and are committed to building quality housing that will fit in with the existing neighborhood and become the happy homes for approximately 1,800 new residents. Lexington Investment Corporation is well experienced with handling this kind of development and has successfully accomplished this in other places. Through affiliated companies, it has participated in the acquisition, development, sales management, and disposition of varied residential and commercial properties across Western Canada, including in Calgary, Canmore, Victoria, Prince George, Saskatoon, Regina, Brandon, and most recently with several hundred units in Fort McMurray, Alberta. Financing for this development is stable and secured and arranged through a major provincial pension fund, national trust company, a national life insurance company, a private equity firm, and through the selective sale of existing assets. The proposed Fort Rouge Yards development promises many benefits to the existing area, including improvements to infrastructure such as sewers and greens and more green space, but local schools may benefit the most. Winnipeg School Division lists the capacity of Lord Roberts School as 497 students, but its current enrollment is just 277. And it's worth noting that Lord Roberts has lost its only librarian. It had a part-time librarian as of last year due to declining enrollment. École Riverview School has room for an additional 111 students. Both of those schools serve nursery through grade 6. The enrollment at Churchill High School, grades 7 through 12, Churchill is 516 kids right now with a capacity of 894. And College Churchill, the French immersion side of the school, has 139 students with room for more than double at 307. In all, there are 877 vacant school chairs in our area. One of the questions we've been asked a number of times by area residents is whether the proposed development will add too many people to the neighborhood. As a matter of fact, the new housing will only bring the neighborhood's population back up to where it was approximately 40 years ago. The Lord Roberts neighborhood has a land area of 1.7 square kilometers and has a population of approximately 4,955 people. That's according to the 2006 census. This population count represents a decline of 2.3% compared to the 2001 census, which had a count of 5,070, and that's an annual decline of 0.5%. The population has been consistently declining, since the 1971 census count of 6,555, representing a 35-year decline of almost a quarter. With the 1,800 residents we're expecting will fill this new subdivision or new area, the restored population will be just slightly higher than 1971 levels. We're also respecting the history of the neighborhood. There was no discussion at all and an immediate acceptance that existing and historic street names should be continued and continued to be used in the new area. And those include Rathgar, Walker, and Berwick. I want to talk to you a little bit about the public consultation process that we've had. We engaged in an extensive public consultation process, much more than is required by the City of Winnipeg, and we did so because that's a very important element for the developer to make sure that they're hearing concerns from the residents. We had two design charrettes, which were invitation-only small meetings where we invited community leaders, business leaders, school leaders, politicians, experts, stakeholders in groups such as the Rapid Transit Coalition, and so on. We also held two public open houses. The first one was July 29th at Lord Roberts Community Centre, and the second September 23rd at Lord Roberts School. The July open house was advertised in the Winnipeg Free Press, and invitations, 3,500 copies of which, were delivered by Canada Post to all residents in the Lord Roberts and Riverview areas. We also gave the notice to local media outlets. News of the meeting was reported in advance in the Winnipeg Free Press. The notice of the meeting was also placed at Lord Roberts Community Centre, and invitations were placed in businesses along Osborne South, including at the Fort Rouge Leisure Center and at Safeway. Email invitations were also sent out to community leaders, including the Osborne South Biz, Community Center, and school principals, and many others. We've got some proofs of performance in advertising terms for the advertising that went out to promote both the July open house and the September open house, and I'll ask Jeff just to give that to the clerk as well. So the feedback. We were overall very pleased with the level of interest shown from the area, from the neighborhood, at our first open house. In fact, we drew people from right across the city, which was very encouraging. We estimated about 250 people came out to learn about our plans. Our goal in the first open house was to show some of the things that we could do with the development and give residents a peek at one possible site plan. And we asked their feedback. We asked for them to tell us what they wanted to see in a new development and how it can fit into their neighborhood and what are their concerns. We also had them fill in a survey so that we could have in writing what their concerns and questions are. And we were very pleased to see that a clear majority at the first open house supported changing the zoning from industrial uses to residential. At the same time, we heard that residents were concerned about increases in traffic, the potential for parking problems, the height of the high-rise towers, the amount of green space. We also heard concerns about the prospect of construction noise, whether the development would include any subsidized or affordable housing, whether the high-rises would shade the existing area, and how the new development would impact sewer systems. Additionally, we heard numerous complaints about Argue Street that had been previously closed and were urged by many residents to talk with the city about reopening it to vehicular traffic. So what did we do with all that feedback? We listened. And we went back to the planning stage, and we made changes. The September open house was advertised on our website we created at fortrougeyards.com and by newsletter, 3,800 copies of which were delivered to all residents of Lord Roberts and Riverview by the Winnipeg Free Press. Again, several media outlets reported on it prior to the open house, which we encouraged and sent out advisories to gain that publicity. And that included the Winnipeg Free Press, CGOB Radio, and CBC Radio. Posters advertising the open house were put up at Lord Roberts School, Lord Roberts Community Center, Fort Rouge Leisure Center, Safeway, plus numerous businesses along Osborne South. Email invitations were sent to more than 100 people who had signed up to receive notices on the website, and email invitations were also sent out to community leaders, including the Osborne South Biz, community center leaders, school principals, and local politicians, and many others. Our website at fortrougeyards.com was something that we created proactively. We weren't required to, but we wanted to share as much information as we could with residents to dispel any misinformation right off the bat. So we proactively created the website. It contains a lot of information about the project. We posted the complete traffic and sewer studies, for example, as well as all the site plans and project documents that we presented at our open houses. It also includes an FAQ section where we responded to questions put to us during the public consultation process. So we made a number of changes and revisions to our plan, many as a direct result of community feedback. They included the number of high-rise buildings was reduced from 3 to 2. At the same time, residents said they wanted to see more green space, so we offered a compromise at our second open house presentation where the towers were slightly higher than the July presentation because higher towers have smaller footprints. So it was a compromise that we proposed to the area and to the city. The maximum height of those proposed high-rise buildings were capped. The high-rise towers were kept back from the street and located to the far southwest corner of the site. We proposed creating new public access routes, either through new public urban plazas or green pathways to and from the new proposed BRT stations. We proposed more of the units to be put up for sale rather than for rent. We proposed omitting public or subsidized housing from the development. We are open to establishing new traffic calming measures in the area in cooperation with the City of Winnipeg. The inclusion of sufficient parking was also a new proposal which added parking spaces, including new on-street parking on Argue Street. We also support the reopening of Argue Street and agree with the neighborhood wholeheartedly on that. We support opening of pathways to new green spaces and active transportation trails through the townhouse development. And we also support the maintenance of a community garden at Lord Roberts Community Center near Argue Street. In addition, we're proposing to add green space to the community center. We're proposing that a portion of the development be added to the field at Lord Roberts Community Center to create a new soccer field, which is much needed by the community center there. And we also support maintaining Berwick Field at the south end of the site as a park and a soccer field as well. In addition, the developer has committed to creating a $500,000 community development fund that would be for neighborhood improvements, parks, gardens, schools, and community centers, for example. And for anybody who's raised money for play structures or community centers or anything of the like, this is going to be a great help for the neighborhood. The second open house received about 150 people. The survey results at that open house indicated that residents largely supported the changes that we made. In fact, we earned majority approval on all of our major plan revisions. During the first open house, we also committed to hiring engineers to do in-depth studies on the impact of the development might have on traffic as well as sewer and water systems. And we committed to sharing those results with the public once they're ready. And at this point, I'd like to call on Shane Cooper to come up and give you a high-level look at the results of our sewer and water traffic, our water studies.
Thank you, councillors, guests. It is great to see so many people out here tonight. I am Shane Cooper from Dillon Consulting. Just to give you a little bit of a background, Dillon Consulting was retained by Gem Equities to study the impacts of the proposed developments on the existing underground infrastructure and provide recommendations if any upgrades were required to accommodate the development. The systems that were evaluated were the existing water distribution system, the existing combined sewer system, and the newly installed land drainage sewer for the Southwest Rapid Transit Corridor. The evaluations of the systems included the following items of work. We gather information regarding existing and expected pressure and flows, land drainage flows, and wastewater sewer flows. We analyzed existing conditions as well as land drainage and wastewater sewers within the Fort Rouge Yards and the Lord Roberts neighborhood. We analyzed the existing capacity and the level of service for the existing land drainage sewers and wastewater sewers. We also established anticipated water flow requirements for the new development and what additional water mains would be required and where these tie-in locations should be. We established anticipated increase in land drainage sewer flows from the new development and how these flows would be addressed. We established anticipated increase in wastewater sewer flows from the new development and how these would be addressed and recommended upgrades and improvements might be implemented to address the expected increased water requirements and in the sewer flows. Out of these evaluations, the following observations and recommendations have been made. In terms of water distribution, domestic and fire flow demands were estimated using the Fire Underwriter Survey, or FUS guidelines, demands were modeled in EPA net and established the proper new water main size for the development. What we have suggested is that a new water main be installed on Argue Street in the city right away by the developer and headed over to the city upon completion. With the water main becoming property of the city, there's a possibility for the existing water mains in the area to be tied into the new water main to increase pressures and reliability in the neighborhood. In terms of the land drainage sewer, at the design stage of the land drainage sewer for the Southwest Rapid Transit Corridor, two storm catchment options were investigated and the designs were evaluated. One option included servicing only the transitway lands and the other servicing both the transitway and the undeveloped lands in Fort Rouge Yards. After thorough evaluation and preliminary designs, it was agreed that it was in the city's best long-term interest to increase the pipe sizing to service both the transitway and the undeveloped lands and recover the additional costs upon development of the land. This land drainage sewer was installed in 2009 as part of the first phase of the Southwest Rapid Transit Corridor and is ready to accept flows from both the proposed development and the transitway. The installation of this sewer will result in wet weather runoff flows once destined for the Colburn Combined Sewer District to be removed from the system and drained directly to the river, resulting in an increase in system capacity of the Colburn Combined Sewer District. Just item of note, the development must be self-contained and all wet weather runoff from the developed lands must be directed internally and to the land drainage sewer. In terms of the combined sewer, existing sewer and the wastewater sewer that's proposed for the development, based on proposed population of the development, an estimate of wastewater flows was generated. The estimated water flows were found to be less than the wet weather flows that would be removed from the combined sewer district via the land drainage sewer, resulting in a net wet weather flow loss to the combined sewer district. It is recommended that the new wastewater sewer be installed in the city right-of-way with a connection point to the combined sewer near the low point of the system on a large diameter sewer. Of note, existing homes will not be connected directly to this new sewer. The City of Winnipeg has indicated independent of the removal of the wet water flows, the lift station that services the area has the capacity to handle the new wastewater flows and will install flow monitoring devices near the station as the proposed development comes online to verify these flows. Dillon Consulting, along with KGS, has worked on the Colburn-Calrossi combined sewer relief studies in the area and have determined that this development fits into the long-term planning of sewer services for the area. The sewer relief project is currently in the design stage and it is anticipated that it will be constructed and implemented within the next 5 years. Thank you.
Now we'll ask Bill Cavanaugh to talk about traffic.
Hello, I'm Bill Cavanaugh and I'm with Dillon Consulting. We undertook a traffic impact study for the proposed development. It was an update to a 2004 study that we had also undertaken. Some of the things we looked at were the trends, population, the traffic flows, what the traffic growth was. We found that in addition to the population drop in the neighborhood, that the background traffic volumes had a minimal traffic growth increase. When we looked at the number of units that were proposed, we estimated the amount of traffic that would be generated by the development using industry standards. The Institute of Traffic Engineers produces case studies or a manual for trip generation, and they have different categories of apartment buildings. We looked at the types of buildings and the height of the buildings and applied the historical trip generation numbers to the number of units and came up with the total amount of traffic that was going to be generated by the apartment buildings. We then applied these trips to the background traffic volumes based on origin, destination, historical data from the City of Winnipeg. For instance, we applied 40% of the generated traffic northbound on Osborne towards the downtown area, 40% northbound on Pembina or heading west on Grant, 20% south on Pembina. With the background traffic volumes, we then undertook a capacity analysis. And generally, that's graded much the same as the old school marks, A to F, with A being the best possible condition and F being failure. And we found that generally all of the intersections operated at acceptable levels, with the exception of the Osborne Jubilee intersection. After, and that was for both the existing condition and with the trip generated traffic applied. Number-wise, the entire development would be for the 900 main units, would be adding roughly 2,800 trips to the background traffic volumes. Now, the background traffic volumes are roughly 26,000 on Jubilee and 28,000 on Osborne. AM peak hour traffic would be adding 213 trips, and PM peak would be adding 240 trips. This represents roughly a 6% increase in the background traffic volumes. Overall, the collector streets that typically have signals on Jubilee and Osborne operated quite well, and were well, the amount of traffic that's on the streets are well underneath the guidelines of 5,000 vehicles per day that the City of Winnipeg would like to see. There was only one residential street that was had a significant amount of traffic higher than the their 1,000 guideline. That was Lilac Street, and actually it currently right now has traffic volumes of almost 2,300 cars per day on it. The development would add another 400 trips onto Lilac, but it's a three-leg intersection, and most of the traffic that is coming out on Lilac is turning right. It's a southbound right, and they are managing to merge into the traffic flows into the existing gaps. We really didn't see that there was going to be anything more than a minor impact to the traffic. We submitted the report to the City of Winnipeg Public Works Department, and they have indicated that they do not have any major concerns or had any problems with it. Thank you.
Good evening. What is our vision for the development, and how does it embody transit-oriented development and the Our Winnipeg document? How will the development be integrated into the existing neighborhood? My name is Jeff Sawina. I'm one of the designers. I'll be the project manager on the project as well. And many of the key concepts for the redevelopment of the Fort Rouge Yards are based on the direction of the Our Winnipeg and Complete Communities direction strategy, the city's new land use and development plan. Fort Rouge Yards is identified as a transformative area, that is, underutilized land on a former industrial area that will provide the best opportunity for infill, growth, and change in the city. It is one of 10 major redevelopment sites listed within the city limits. Characteristics identified in the Our Winnipeg Initiative are a commitment to sustainability, a call for infill high-density mixed-use development, high-quality development with heightened level of urban design, reduced reliance on automobile. Also, due to the close proximity of Phase 1 of the Southwest Rapid Transit Corridor, which is currently under construction, The Fort Rouge Yard site represents a prime opportunity for the redevelopment based on TOD principles. Transit-oriented development focuses compact growth within an easy 5 to 10 minute walk of transit stations, brings potential riders closer to transit facilities, and promotes increased ridership by making access to transit that much easier. It will be poised to be the first TOD-based development in Winnipeg's history. The core principles of TOD to create a sense of place are medium to high density development greater than the community average, an active defined center, a mix of uses, compact, high quality, pedestrian oriented environment, limited managed parking. So how are these concepts integrated into our development? Medium to high density development greater than the community average. There will be a mixture of densities on the site. 80% of the site will incorporate medium-density, low-rise housing, while approximately 20% of the site will be composed of the high-density, high-rise housing. Highest densities are to be immediately surrounding the stations or core of the development. There is a need to introduce a high-rise typology to achieve the densities that are required for the site while reducing the building footprint, consuming less land than low-density development, and therefore providing opportunities for more surrounding open space. Building height should taper down to medium and low density at the edges, which is adjacent to the existing Lord Roberts neighborhood. An active defined center. Higher population densities around the Fort Rouge station and potential future Jubilee station will provide easy access to transit and therefore encourage more transit ridership. It is important to create a dynamic area for a variety of users. A more popular and well-traveled rapid transit corridor helps to build strong and safe neighborhoods. This will be achieved with the creation of public open spaces and new public plazas in close proximity to the transit stations, which results in active zones to create more public safety. A mix of uses. Although the development is intended as mostly residential development, there are opportunities for light commercial use in close proximity to the transit stations, as there will be the required densities and people to potentially sustain a small business operation. In the low-rise section of the development, there is the potential to have main floor corner units at the public right-of-ways provide an opportunity for flex space, which could be developed as either residential units or limited small-scale commercial if there is interest in the neighborhood. Compact, high-quality, pedestrian-oriented environment. A strong north-south emphasis is proposed along Argue Street to reinforce its critical nature in tying the existing neighborhood with the new community. There will be setbacks along Argue Street to redefine it as a grand tree-lined street with boulevards, sidewalks, and possibly on-street parking and mini roundabouts for traffic calming to promote a more relaxed pace. Walkable features such as short blocks and intermediate pathways or cut-throughs as public right-of-ways in the east-west direction through the site from Argue Street to the new walking, biking, and rapid transit amenities offered by the AT network. There is a strong desire in TOD developments to encourage walkable neighborhoods as a greater number of people on the street will also make for safer communities. Limited managed parking. There is an emphasis to provide innovative parking strategies to minimize the impact within the neighborhood. Internalized parking for the development will be based on a holistic approach to the site, rather than lot by lot, to achieve a required maximum. An overall maximum of 1.5 stalls per unit will be achieved by a blend of approximately 2 stalls per unit for the low-rise areas and a 1 to 1.2 max for the high-rise development. Of course, as the acceptance of the rapid transit begins to grow as an alternate transportation method to the automobile, some excess parking may be realized and as a result turned into open green space again. Most of the parking will be oriented to the rear of the site to lessen the impact on the existing residential streets. There is also the potential for bermed parking at the rear to allow for a decrease in footprint of the surface lots. Structured parking will be provided in the high-density areas to reduce the footprints of typical surface parking lots. Around this structured parking, low-rise development will occupy the base of the towers to act as a screen for the internal parking structure, while also allowing for transition in scale to the high-rise beyond. In addition to these characteristics of TOD, there is also a shared commitment to sustainability for the development. The redevelopment of a brownfield site will take place, as this was once a former rail yard lands that have a level of contamination that must be remediated or effectively managed on site. The project will be substantially landscaped, which promotes access to green space, provides shade, reduces the heat island effects, and provides stormwater management to divert precipitation from entering into the city sewers. The development will incorporate an open-loop district geothermal heating and cooling system, which will reduce operating costs for the users. The latest in energy efficiency construction standards will be incorporated by building according to Manitoba Hydro Power Smart to maximize energy efficiency by again reducing operating costs. As compared to traditional developments, this project will have a much smaller carbon footprint. The development will provide secure bicycle parking and new pathways to connect the existing community of Lord Roberts to the new active transportation network and encourage the use of bicycles. Now, I'll get Todd White, the architect on the project, who will describe in more detail about the building typologies and the green spaces on the site.
My name is Todd White. I'm the owner of Plus White Architecture, and I was retained to join the design team and help in the creation of the area master plan for the Fort Rouge Yards. I will try to go through the concepts that Jeff has introduced to you tonight and do it by going through a little bit more of a closer scale to the project itself, by going through with you the townhouses, a little overview on the high-rise construction that's on the south end of the site, and finish off with a review of the public open space and green spaces that we propose. Here in this slide, we see two shades. The darker green represents the area of the property where the high-rise construction will be, and the lighter sort of blue-green color represents the area where the townhouse projects will be. Approximately 80% of the site will be developed through a townhouse typology, which will be a 3 to 4 story construction. And townhouses we find today are low-rise, grade-related, attached residential units constructed in rows or blocks. They share a number of design characteristics with single-family detached and semi-detached houses, such as front doors facing the street, grade-related outdoor space, and in many urban locations, similar to this project, townhouses provide a smart growth alternative to detached dwellings because they are compact, less land consumptive, and more energy efficient. Therefore, townhouses are becoming an increasingly popular form of housing and part of a transit-oriented development. With primary pedestrian-oriented neighborhood goals, we want to create active edges along the new and existing public streets, and secondly, within and through the open private courtyard spaces. Next slide, please. With the townhouse typology, the outdoor courtyard spaces and the public streets will be ringed with active edges from residential entrances, stoops, stairs, communal amenity spaces, and courtyard and station gateways. This is to promote street activity, where new sidewalks and curbside plantings green the streetscape and help manage stormwater runoff. Distinct blocks created with perimeter sidewalks provide safe pedestrian spaces for play, recreation, and transportation. On-street parking, street trees, boulevards, and sidewalks stitch the new development into the existing residential street character while providing traffic calming measures and activating the sidewalk system, improving security with more eyes on the street. The concept of eyes on the street is important to us. It was coined by the urban sociologist Jane Jacobs in her book, Death and Life of Great American Cities, and has probably become the most fundamental four words when it comes to public safety. In Jane Jacobs' words, there must be eyes on the street eyes belonging to those we might call the natural proprietors of the street. The buildings on the street, equipped to handle strangers and to ensure the safety of both residents and strangers, must be oriented to the street. They cannot turn their backs or blank sides on it and leave it blind. The sidewalk must have users on it fairly continuously, both to add to the number of effective eyes on the street and to induce a sufficient number of people in buildings along the street to watch the sidewalks. Our back-to-back concept for the townhouse construction creates active edges both on the street side as well as on the courtyard, inner courtyard sides. And for us, eyes on the courtyards is just as important as eyes on the street. We could go to the next slide. The semi-public and private courtyard spaces offer a space to develop a range of outdoor activities for all ages. Perhaps the next slide is better. Yeah. We could see raised planters for residents to grow food and flowers, rain gardens, secure bicycle and stroller storage areas, or recycled surfaces for playgrounds and tot lots. The courtyards are semi-protected spaces, providing opportunities for the community to gather and meet each other. They will provide outdoor activity space for community gardens, play spaces, and perhaps garden pavilions with picnic tables for outdoor dining day or night. Maybe, I think there might be one more, yeah. It's a section going through one of the townhouse blocks. Related to parking, parking will be located in the back, where vehicle traffic and temporary parking will be kept to the perimeter of each block, with areas for on-street parking typical to the existing neighborhood. Structured and surface parking spaces will be concealed and located to the back of the property, where it may be placed underground or in a double-stacked bermed structure as shown in the master plan sketches. Either way, it will be concealed within a comprehensive landscape plan while addressing all related public safety concerns. The high-rise portion of the project is only 20% of the whole project development of the site. It is planned to be, of which it will be over four stories. The rest of the project, the townhouses, which is 80%, the height maximum would be four stories that we would see there. This will be done with two high-rise towers on an area approximately 3 acres located at the south end of the site and will accommodate approximately 500 dwelling units. The high-rises are designed to have the highest construction the furthest away from Argus Street and then step down through a mid-rise height to a podium base of townhouses, which provides a residential scale along the street front. The mass of the high-rise will therefore be partly obscured from the immediate street-level views by this townhouse base and provide a pedestrian-appropriate face to Argue and Rathgar, as well as the existing neighborhood. Let me go to the next slide. We will create one landmark residential high-rise at the southwest corner, and its neighbor a few stories lower. Each building will be comprised of three components: the residential tower itself, the high-rise portion, shown here in the red, a mid-rise portion, shown here in brown, and a ring of 3 to 4 story townhouses wrapped around the base, shown in the lighter brown. It was yellow on my computer. The band or ring of townhouses will encircle the parking structure of each tower, as well as provide an active pedestrian edge at the base of the two buildings. With the high-rise buildings arranged, with the higher building mass situated as far to the west, away from Argue Street, shadow studies have concluded that there will be no adverse shadow effects at any time of the year on the existing neighborhood. You can run through. Equinox of March is similar to September. And we see here a summer sun study and the December sun studies. Views of the high-rise buildings were considered at three scales: short, mid, and long range. short-range views consider the street-level perspective and have concluded that the height of the northern tower should step down from its neighbor and will therefore have a height maximum height lower than the southern tower to preserve the streetscape character through a step transition of scale from one tower to the next and down to the townhouses below. The mid-range views are views that are considered from a distance, for example, from McKittrick Park. And as a graduated step-down massing, this creates a more subtle presentation of the towers to the adjacent neighborhood. Yeah, we can go to the next one. Long-range views are generally down street corridors in Winnipeg. Views of the towers from the surrounding neighborhood areas further towards the east will not be greatly affected, mainly due to the buildings and trees that would generally obscure the view, particularly during summer months. High-rise towers will come into view on portions of Jubilee, the overpass, and along Pembina Highway. This is an opportunity to create a focal point and an iconic addition to the Winnipeg downtown skyline. Building a wayfinding landmark at the major confluences of Pembina, Jubilee, and Stafford makes urban sense. It provides a major route placemaker for cars, buses, cyclists, and pedestrians. This will be of significance to Pembina Highway and the future rapid transit and active transportation corridor, where the towers will mark the first phase of the corridor and the location of the new rapid transit station at Jubilee. Providing passengers an easy, memorized, and intuitive wayfinding point and creating a recognizable icon within the community that will help to demarcate the location of the station and act as a signpost or gateway for those traveling north or south down Pembina Highway. We have and will, through the design process, continue to evolve the high-rise designs to ensure that they are created to incorporate verifiable, sustainable design strategies with interesting massing, maximizing exposure to sunlight and views, while minimizing shadows and wind effects and view obstructions to the neighboring buildings. The base of the buildings will be a pedestrian-scaled streetscape environment with hard and soft landscaping, with varied and interesting architectural facades and clear delineations between the private and public open spaces. The two high-rises will form the backdrop edge and provide an identity to the creation of a public urban plaza at the Jubilee Station. To support higher densities associated with transit-oriented development, a variety of parks and public open spaces are integrated into the station areas to tie into the existing vegetation, parks, and recreation areas and create a complete walkable community. The open spaces create a range of formal and informal gathering spaces inclusive for the new and the existing community members of the neighborhood. Jubilee Station is planned to be developed with close proximity to the base of the high-rise buildings at the southwest corner of the site. The station will be developed around a public transit plaza. It will be a combination of hard and soft landscaping that will provide station identity and character to the neighborhood arrivals and departures from the station. It will create a place for the community to meet, cross paths, and enjoy. In time and upon rapid transit growth, spaces at the base of each of the high-rise towers will be designed so as to adapt, or will be designed to be able to adapt and accommodate amenities desired by daily rapid transit users, adding more community life and activity to the urban plaza atmosphere. Private and public open spaces throughout the development complete a landscape network that strings the new and existing communities together, providing community gathering and activity spaces, as mentioned in my discussion on townhouses. The concept of green streets provides a continuous stretch of high-quality public roadways, including sidewalks and curbside plantings, that green the streetscape and help manage stormwater runoff. The system links both the new and existing parks and open spaces to the transit stations, bringing the development into an existing walkable neighborhood characteristics known for the Lord Roberts community. The creation of these new public street right-of-ways, where we see the extension of Berwick Place, Walker, and Rathgar Avenue into the development, will connect public access to the active transportation pathway, the Fort Rouge Station, and the proposed Jubilee Station. All new streets, and including the redevelopment of Argue Street, will be constructed to meet all Winnipeg street standards and designed to bring the new development into character with the existing. Streets will have barrier-free sidewalks, street trees, boulevards, curbside plantings, crosswalks, and on-street parking, contributing to a walkable, vibrant, complete community. The greenway space, which is part of the Southwest Rapid Transit Corridor system, provides an active transportation trail and pathway system along the west side of the property. A place where existing community members and new community members can participate in biking, walking, running, transportation, recreation. Further to the development is a portion of land dedication required by the City of Winnipeg to provide a portion of the property for public parks. Here we found space to add to Berwick Park on the south side of the property and a chance to reconfigure Argue Street to allow the expansion of Lord Roberts Community Center, making room for a much needed soccer pitch closer to the center itself and the facilities that it offers. Thank you.
Great, thanks. I know that we've got a lot of people to hear from, so if you just bear with us for two more minutes and we'll wrap up. We've been very sincere in our efforts to engage the community, to listen to their concerns, and to adapt and revise our plans. And I hope you join me in becoming really excited about what we've just heard. There's been a lot of work and a lot of creativity going into this. And we're committed to remaining engaged with the community for a very long time into the future. We believe this is just the beginning of a very long and very beneficial relationship between this developer and the neighborhood. And for example, we heard at our second open house there were continuing concerns about construction noise. And so it's worth noting that we were already talking to the city about possibilities effectively routing the trucks so that they bypass the neighborhood as much as possible. And in fact, we're already investigating the potential of the fabrication of large components off-site to minimize any effect on the community. I also want to just read two short passages from letters from people who could not be here. One is from Scott Tackerberry, who's a merchant on Osborne South. He owns Game Night, Games, and Cool Stuff. And he writes, as both a resident and a merchant, I feel this development will be a boon to the neighborhood in many ways. As a resident, I feel it will help with our schools and our infrastructure. And as a merchant, I feel it will bring in new clientele. It's a win-win scenario. And he's just one of several merchants that I spoke to who echoed those sentiments. And also, on September 25th in the Winnipeg Free Press, Gino D'Estasio, who is the Director of Urban Studies at the University of Winnipeg, wrote a column in which he wrote, the headline, Fort Rouge Could Lead Winnipeg. And it says, the proposed redevelopment of the abandoned industrial lands in Fort Rouge is perhaps the best example of how Winnipeg should be revitalizing older neighborhoods. Rarely are we presented with such a great opportunity to not only convert an empty wasteland, but to also support and strengthen existing services. And in the end, being bold and innovative, much how we were 100 years ago in developing these original areas, and I'm paraphrasing a little bit there, was much how Austin was in helping to open up this area is so fitting for adopting this new step forward. It's in our best interest as a developer, it's in the developer's best interest to make sure this development complements the existing area. It's in our best interest to make sure the neighborhood amenities are sound and the existing services, such as schools, are capable of handling new residents. And so it's also in our best interest to continue to work with area residents to make sure our plans fit well into the existing neighborhood. And we believe they do. That is not to say that the development will not bring change. It will. The whole thing will add density. but it's important to remember that density makes the development viable. Without density, there's no housing, and if there's no housing, then do we want industrial or manufacturing buildings there instead? Also, there are good things about density. It's good for the environment by reducing sprawl. It will contribute to the success of the rapid transit way. It will bring much-needed people to our area to fill up our emptying schools and community centers. It will bring tax revenue and infrastructure spending. It will also mean a critical mass of people to support more and better stores and restaurants and so forth along Osborne. We're talking about a trade-off. On the one hand, we have an opportunity to take an unused industrial site out of commission, forever removing the possibility of new industrial buildings being erected so close to a nice, peaceful area. And on the other hand, it will also mean the neighborhood will have to cope with more traffic. Not so much as to overwhelm the streets, though. We believe the population and traffic increases can be easily accommodated, and in a short while, the new residents will be very much at home as part of the Lord Roberts neighborhood. We believe that vibrant cities need to change and grow and evolve. We believe we have a proposal here that will bring very positive change and very positive growth to Lord Roberts. Thank you very much.
We have four more names of people that may wish to speak. Sherman, you may go back up. Thank you very much. And now if anybody wishes to speak, but they've already heard or their comments have already been mentioned, by all means, you don't have to speak again, but it's your right to do so. So I'm looking for Ryan Behi, I'm sorry, if you wish to speak. Not seen. When I call your name, can you just sort of come on down? That'd be great. Paul Hess. And I'll call the rest just in case. Don Copins and Larry Carter.
Good evening. Thank you. Larry Carter just mentioned that he will not be speaking unless you have questions for him. And I saw Shane Nestrick leave. He had mentioned he wanted to speak generally in favor, though he had some concerns, and I saw he had to leave as well. So. Okay.
All right, you are?
My name is Paul Hesse. I'm a past chair, well, the past chair of the Winnipeg Rapid Transit Coalition. That's a citizens coalition that supports the construction of rapid transit in Winnipeg. And I'm here because I generally support this development, this application, because it's providing important transit-oriented development in Winnipeg and for Winnipeg. And this type of development is very important for a few reasons, including increasing the number of people who live close to transit and within walking distance of rapid transit, as well as the dedicated cycling paths. We're talking about creating additional spaces for people to live in Winnipeg without a car, something that Winnipeg doesn't have enough of. We're talking about improving the tax base around rapid transit stations, which helps pay for the overall project. And we've heard about new housing in an existing neighborhood where we already have roads, community centers, underused schools, a fire station, and so on. So you're enhancing an existing neighborhood, and you're also being a more efficient form of growth that's using those existing services rather than having to build them fresh on a greenfield site. Now, I know that local residents have concerns. I've heard some of them, and I certainly don't want to downplay those concerns. There may be safety or traffic issues that need to be mitigated, and I'm sure you'll hear from the thoughts of those who have concerns. And I support efforts to improve this project, to address any legitimate safety, traffic, or other issues that will affect the neighboring area. I want the developers and I want the city on this to work with the neighborhood, because this is a very important project and it's important that we get it right. There's one suggestion that I heard that I do want to pass along, and it's to make sure, if possible, that the towers, the higher density housing, is really incorporated into the stations to make it as easy as possible for the new residents to use the rapid transit stations. And I would think in particular at the Jubilee end, with the possible station there, that it be incorporated as much as possible into the towers to make sure that people find it easy to use, whether that's through covered walkways or other methods. But I also want to stress something. Waiting for perfection in Winnipeg means waiting a long time. It's a little bit like waiting for Godot. And
We mustn't wait for perfection. This is a good project. It's not perfect, but and let's improve the project if necessary, but it should go ahead. I've heard one concern that because phase two hasn't been announced yet, we shouldn't be doing this. Well, phase one is being constructed, and in my opinion, one way or another, phase two will happen. Whether it's BRT or whether it's LRT, it will, and I, for one, won't rest until rapid transit is expanded in the city. So we mustn't just look for the next 1 or 2 years. We must be building the type of city we want to see in Winnipeg, one that does have rapid transit, one that does have more transit-oriented neighborhoods, because Winnipeg doesn't have enough of them right now. So we must plan for the longer run. And even if phase two hasn't been announced yet, it's important to know that phase one will be well integrated into the existing transit system, and those residents who are living by these stations will be well connected into transit in the city. I could say more, but I'm just going to repeat myself, so I'll leave it at that. Thank you.
Is there anyone who wishes to speak in support whose name has not been called? Seeing none, Mr. Chairperson, we can move on to people who are in opposition.
Oh, no, this gentleman right here.
Oh, sorry.
I'll just do it.
Hello, I'm Don Coppins. I've lived in Lord Roberts since the mid-80s. I've had 4 children attend Lord Roberts School. It's a great school. I love the area. I've coached soccer there, worked on patrols, and I intend on staying there for the foreseeable future. I'm excited about the idea and the work that's gone into this. I think it's a great idea to build up instead of out, as we like to do everywhere in North America. And everybody here, all my neighbors, we all know why we love the area. We love the ambience. We love the walkability. We love all those things. And I can understand why everybody is very concerned about many of these things. But I would just like to say that if there was ever an area that was perfect for this sort of thing to happen, it would be out on the yards there, and I appreciate that it's trying to tie in the TOD, and that'll make a huge difference in Winnipeg. We have a very hard time learning to use transit, so I think it'll be a positive push or a nudge will help the people in my area, and perhaps it'll spread to the rest of the city. And it'll catch on. Now, I know I'd also just like to say in Winnipeg, we sometimes wait for a long time for new ideas to happen. And this is one that I think that we would really get on the map across Canada and maybe North America for going ahead with something like this. Thank you.
No one else in support who wishes to speak. We'll move to people in opposition.
Again, what I'll do is I'll just go through the list of people that are listed in opposition. Go through the first 5, and if you could just sort of make your way down. Unless there is someone from the community that would like to start off the presentation or anything as such. Some communities have that, but in this case, nope. All right, so I'll just call out the first 5. And again, you don't have to speak. You are registered in opposition, but if you do wish, it is your right, so please do. Daniel Bruce and Jacqueline Rutherford. Dee Seeley. Edward Bardot. Budo, John Swirsky, and Peter Vander Est. If anybody would like to speak, please come on down.
I have presentations for you.
Please. And state your name, please.
Edward Boudreau.
Great.
There are four copies there.
Ed.
All right. Again? Just so you know, there's a magic clock that will start when you up top above the seal.
Okay.
There's your 10 minutes.
Good.
We're quite liberal with it, but try to keep within the 10 minutes.
Oh, I think I can be.
Okay.
I hope I can be brief enough for that 10 minutes. As I mentioned, my name is Edward Boudreau. I live at 593 Carlaw Avenue since 1999. Previously, in September 66 to April 1979, I lived at 425 Arnold Avenue. So I returned to the neighborhood after an absence in another place because I thought the first 13 years were quite good, pleasant. My doctor suggests, as you can kind of tell, that healthy exercise would be a good idea, and he suggests walking. And I do a lot of walking in the neighborhood, usually 3 to 4 times a week, both summer and winter. And I think I know the neighborhood because I change my routes all the time for variety. You know, I know most of the streets in the neighborhood, and I walk past them and observe them. I also received a link from Michael Robinson on Friday to the report for the city that's called the Yards at Fort Rouge Master Plan Development, which included the impact study of traffic. With lots of coffee, I managed to finish it by midnight, and I do recommend the report if you're having trouble sleeping. As for community consultation, I attended all the public meetings, and I want the people who have sore arms slapping themselves on the back to know that there are two practitioners, physiotherapy and chiropractors on Osborne, so I'd recommend that you take advantage of those. I did appreciate some of the effort, but I did not feel that those hearings truly represent the feelings in the neighborhood. This is a good neighborhood to reside in. Despite the references for higher populations as a previous time there was, and I lived in that previous time, present residents are happy, and the conditions are improving with new construction of houses, improvements in additions to houses, and I'd point out that the area has a rapid transfer of the present buildings. In fact, three houses across the street from me sold in a week. Their signs were up and they sold in 1 week. Also in my walking, I notice when a sign is there and a house is for sale, and then I go by if I make it soon and it's sold. So, and I also have lots of real estate agents just very happy to sell my house whenever I want to sell it. So the present neighborhood enjoys library. It has the Sam Southern facility, which allows for exercise, hockey, seniors. There's also 12 restaurants within walking distance of my house. So we're very well served. And to infer that somehow we should go back to an older period of time where there was a higher population, I don't think that means anything. It's really the conditions that are in the neighborhood now and how happy the residents are. What it really means is if there's a lower density, it just means there's fewer people per house because the number of houses hasn't changed. And I don't consider that that's good or bad. I mean, there's nothing wrong with the present situation. If there are fewer people, that's okay. And the increased traffic flow, which has been already admitted, I don't think that'll do a lot for young families with children in the neighborhood. So I want to talk about the two problems and a few suggestions. The problems in the neighborhood now are, number one, the present traffic has to go on narrow streets, and a lot of times people take shortcuts through back lanes, and they also drive at fairly fast speeds. The second problem is to get a table at 7 1/4. And having the Fort Rouge project won't help either one of those. Now, as for construction noise and traffic, I suffered for a few years for the construction because I'm quite close to it, of the new STARM system, that the new STARM line was put in, and the bus rapid transit. And I wake up in the morning to the sound of heavy-duty equipment backing up and making that beep, 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 beep sound that wakes me up in the morning. My house also shakes during the day with a lot of the construction, either when they're driving piles or some of the equipment is just going up and down and digging holes and bouncing around. And this problem is worse because the city does not, in the projects that have now, they haven't even agreed to live by their own noise rules. And I was told this project is behind, it's too important, so we can't observe our own rules. I call it not eating your own dog food. Now, I don't know how much this construction noise is going to affect me, but I don't wish it for my neighbors to have that problem because it will last from, according to the report, 5 years. But we all know how to take estimates on construction. So we could be looking at a 10-year program of heavy construction. Plus, if you drive down Brandon today, you'll notice there's no parking on the north side of the street so that the trucks can go through. And there's also a sign on Osborne that doesn't allow you to have a stop line at the normal place, but it's 25 feet back. And that, again, is to allow for the heavy construction trucks to go forward. So this is not an insignificant issue. But the real 800-pound gorilla in the room is without the second phase of the Southwest Terminal, a large percentage of the benefits that were displayed to you and the assumptions of the report are not accurate, not even analyzed. And Councillor Jabassi mentioned on her website newsletter in July that the vote on the second phase of the bus rapid transit system means that the second phase isn't even on the development list. I'm going to quote her newsletter because I enjoyed it. The completion of the corridor from Pembina at Jubilee to the University of Manitoba has now been officially removed by the City Council from the list of infrastructure priorities to be submitted to the federal and provincial governments. The second phase will not happen. Many of the things in this report, as for the parking, the density, the advantages of bus transport, because if all you can do is go from Jubilee to downtown, we spend a lot of money, and I just don't think we're going to have the benefits. As for traffic, there's an old saying, war is too important to leave to generals. And I want to change that to traffic experts. Recently, the city has had examples of traffic experts and how they worked on Grosvenor, Assiniboine Avenue. So I think a better way to do it is to ask the people in the neighborhood to drive down the streets like they have now with snow on them. Because if you know the neighborhood, you know that all the streets allow for 3 lanes of traffic with the exception of Morley, which has 4 lanes of traffic. But Morley is 4 lanes from Osborne to Daly, and once it leaves Daly and goes onward west, where it's going to be the entrance to the Morley station, it's only 3 lanes of traffic. And I don't think you're going to remove all those beautiful elms to make a wider street. And it's the traffic. The problem is not always the intersection, but the traffic problem is when these cars are approaching each other, you have to be careful. And it's not, they rated A to F as to the comfort of the traffic. Well, I'd give a much lower grade for the comfort of people who have to drive, particularly with the snow we have now, no clearance until we decide whether it's going to snow again. That's not good. And by pumping these extra cars into the neighborhood, I think it will degrade the neighborhood. How much do I have? 1 more minute. Okay. Better solution. I think it's to ignore what the prized integration of the project has for automobiles. I think the integration for bike paths, for bikes, for walking is fine. But I would restrict any rezoning application to having no auto access to Argue or to other streets in Lloyd Roberts. Now, how is this possible? My neighbor, Will Richard, who's an architect, has drawn, and I've attached to the back, a possible way that this could work, and to use the Jubilee interchange that was recently reconstructed, and to use the same place or right next to it to where the buses are going. So until the buses actually start running, then there could be, you could use the bus path. And according to the report, it's only going to be 200 people a day that are going to be in rush hour. So I think it would work very well to do that. I'll conclude in that I realize the need for increasing the tax base. I also believe in infill housing. I live in one. But I do not think that this development should dump its traffic into the old area when there is a better solution. And I urge you to put as much time and professional expertise on the solution of not dumping the traffic as has been presented up to now. And I would ask you to delay or not approve until that issue has been sorted out. One final note. Of the studies I've read, there really isn't a professional social economic study by competent people. Benefits are alleged or not alleged, but all of the engineering and so on does not really substitute for a proper social economic study of what this project will do in the neighborhood. And I think you've got time to do one.
Just in case we have been in a couple of these, just try to hold back your applause. I know there's lots of emotion in here, but that's why I just say everybody just hold it back a bit just so we don't go off that path. Next, come on up. Next speaker, please. And state your name, please.
My name is Peter Vanderhulst. I'm about a 25-year resident. I moved on to Morley Avenue in 1985, and I initially entered the community as a tenant. I had a surprise within the first couple of weeks, because I am a city bus driver, and I walked to work. And I walked out one morning, and I was greeted by three deer. That evening, when the wife and I were sitting down, we were watching the hawks and the birds flying around. This construction, we don't have any animals anymore. They're gone. That part of the community is gone forever. The quietness of the community is going to go away just as fast. The construction is going to come in, and it's going to be constant banging and booming. And who's going to suffer it? The people of Lord Roberts. Who's going to benefit from it? The rest of the city. It's not fair that we should have to bear the brunt of this construction. The design, you're going to bring all these people in, and they're going to live in the community. Well, what's going to happen when I decide I'm too old to live in Fort Rouge anymore? I'm going to move into an apartment somewhere, and I'm going to sell my house to a young couple. Now, suddenly, there's three more kids there. And right through the whole community, that's what's happening. Houses are being refurbished. New people are moving in. They're using studies from 2006. Walk down the street, see the mothers pushing the carriages. See the kids that are getting close to school age. It's a cycle. What's going to happen? We're going to end up in a situation where we're not going to have the room to build schools. We're going to have to bus these kids out. Parents walk their kids to school. We have a reasonably safe community. We're reasonably well policed. But you put this project in there, and it's just going to be too tight. It's going to be fighting, and eventually the property values will drop either within the complex or within the community that exists now. If the complex values drop, people turn their units into rental units and move out. And what kind of people are going to move in there? Because they're not going to get the high rents then. So quite frankly, I'm totally against this redevelopment. The BRT is fantastic. We lost all those acres of parkland when they started scraping down the trees and everything else. Somebody said scrub and brush. You ever been in a forest? Is everything landscaped? Does its beauty not exist in nature itself? People could walk through that field with their dogs and harm nobody. Children could build forts and not harm anybody. Now we're going to have an extra, they say 1,800 people, I believe. Is that 1,800 units or is that 1,800 people? I don't believe them. I really don't. I have a hard time believing them. There's not that many people. The houses that are in Fort Rouge will refill. There will be babies coming in and school children and then college children. And then we're back to the cycle of empty nesters. But the community is vibrant. It is constantly growing. Don't dump this on us. Please stop this. I am definitely against this rezoning issue. The BRT, along with the active transit, et cetera, yes, let's get our students to school fast. Let's get our citizens to the football game fast. Let's get people to work from the South End to work fast. Let's get them off the roads. Like I said, I'm a bus driver. One less car on the road means a lot to me. But that's only until January 14th. Then they're your problem. I'm retiring. Thank you very much for your time.
Hi, come on up. State your name, please.
My name is Deborah Seeley. I'm a resident of Rathgar Avenue for the past 13 years, and I'm really pleased with the amount of people that have showed up here today because it's nice for us to be heard finally. I have to say that also included in me being a resident is I need to drive my car to work as it's a requirement for my job, and it often takes me as much as half an hour to get from Rathgar to 401 York. And I can't even imagine what the impact of the additional people to the neighborhood is going to mean to that. So I've been following this for the past year and a half. I've been back and forth with Jenny. And I have lots of concerns, but for the most part, my concerns are related to the traffic issues. I can say that, I can appreciate the excitement of the developers to want to come in and implement something exciting and new and really groundbreaking to the area. And I can imagine that the merchants are probably happy for that as well. And I appreciate that as well as more diversity to the neighborhood. An injection of additional people to me is always good. I moved here from a large city, so I appreciate all of that. However, I am not convinced that this, what I call peninsula of land, is the right place for that development, because right now that whole development is experimental. There has been nothing done in the city quite like it. And they're choosing a peninsula of land to create this experimental project. And we're already suffering in a lot of areas. So I am very impressed with the number of investments made by current residents that we're really improving the area. There's been lots and lots of people that have renovated their homes. And they're looking fantastic. And it's really nice to drive down those streets. However, when it comes to the traffic, I have some of the problems with the traffic study that was done. I look to the developer's own website that says that the proposed development will add approximately 900 new units to the Lord Roberts and Riverview area, which currently has approximately 3,100 residents. Well, when I do the math on that, and I'm not a mathematician, I get that increase of 900 new residents comes to a 29% increase in the number of residents, not the amount of people, okay? And so I think that is going to probably create more than a 6% increase in traffic. It's an almost 30% increase in the number of residents. That's the housing. I believe that they have also underestimated the amount of people. They're saying that 900 new residents is going to result in 1,800 new people. Well, a good number of these properties are going to be three bedrooms. So there's only going to be two new people in each of those residents. The math doesn't add up to me. And as a result of that, when I went into the traffic study, there were a lot of other things that didn't add up either. And so I would recommend that somebody go back and take a sober, hard look at that traffic study, because I don't think it's accurate. I'm going to read from a couple of things that I sent to Jenny, and forgive me for reading them, but I can't do all this off the cuff. So one of the things I said was, the Osborne South area is what I call a peninsula of land with only three access egress routes. There's not a day that at least one of those routes is not mentioned on the radio traffic reports as being congested, and I think all of you will attest to that. Every day Osborne Street gets mentioned, like every day, morning and night. Over the summer, all three of those routes have been under construction, often simultaneously. I shudder to think of what would have happened to us all had there been an emergency, a train derailment releasing chemicals in the Osborne Yard, for example, where residents would have needed to evacuate the area. This is not a bizarre, far-fetched scenario. The fact is that the city did not plan for the safety of these residents during this construction, and thankfully so far an emergency has not occurred. I don't know whether there have been any studies as to the access egress routes out of that peninsula of land. And I'm not opposed to the development. I just don't think that that's the right place for that experiment. Now even more traffic is going to be added to this already congested traffic area. Are there plans, I wonder, to eliminate the parking on Osborne to accommodate the additional traffic flow as is currently in effect on Lilac? I don't know. But I can only imagine that the merchants wouldn't be happy with that. At each of the information sessions I've attended, I have been assured that construction traffic for the Rapid Transit Project is restricted to designated streets in the Lord Roberts area. At each info session, residents complain that the construction traffic remains unabated on all streets at all hours. Huge trucks have been observed speeding through the Lord Roberts school zones. Many of our streets are already in bad condition, were never built to withstand heavy equipment traffic, and are rapidly being further damaged. Many local residents have been phoning the city to report the construction traffic. However, it continues, and no signage has been posted identifying the appropriate truck routes or the restricted streets. Huge trucks roll past my house on a regular basis, starting at 6:30 in the morning, rattling my windows. We're told our concerns are being heard and addressed. I beg to differ. Now, this is in its infancy. This project is just in its infancy. And as much as we have been concerned in bringing these forward, we're not being heard. And I just do not have the confidence that we're going to be heard if it's pushed forward even more. There was a comment made about the schools not being to full capacity. I raised a child in the Lord Roberts area. I loved that area, and so did my kid. And he thrived in that area. But I can tell you that when it came to choosing a high school, he went somewhere else. And that's because the beauty of living in Winnipeg is that you have an option of going to the school of your choice if you think that their programs are superior to the ones in your local area. So I would challenge the schools to maybe up the programs that they're offering so that they're bringing people into the area from other residences as some of the other schools have done. I mean, that has certainly worked out in our favor. I have lots and lots of other things to say, but I don't want to hold the floor forever, and I've already used up 8 minutes. So with that, I will let somebody else take the floor. I thank you.
still going to clap? We're still going to clap, aren't we? Come on up. State your name.
My name is Daniel Bruce, and I've been a member, a resident of Fort Rouge for 6 years now. I absolutely love it. Since this has started, there's been a lot of noise, a lot of trucks, and I have to say they haven't been very friendly to the residents. I really like the neighborhood, and I like the way it is, and I'm not opposed to change, but this is pretty drastic altogether, adding this many people, and the site is unique all on its own. It's a dead end. I think if you look at the map, there's only access from Jubilee and Osborne, and then you have the rail yards. So if it is to be developed, that it should be taken seriously and treated as it is, as unique as it is. Somebody had mentioned that that field is a wasteland. I don't think so. Once you develop the land within the city, it's developed, and it's a lot harder to create green space than it is to develop. So already pretty much all my points have been mentioned. I just like to encourage that you think about it and that this project needs more consideration and more involvement in the community in its planning. Thank you.
I'm John Swirsky. I've lived in this area since 1973, and we love the residential area and our quiet streets. Sure, it will be a $200 million investment, which would be great for our economy and great jobs for many years, but it's going to bring equal number of problems. The number one problem is our sewer system. We already have basements back flooding from Brandon to Jubilee, and there's many basements been flooded. So there's no way our sewer system can handle any more water. Not at all. Now, the vacant land absorbs moisture. Now, if they put the development in, buildings and roads do not absorb moisture. So we're just going to, the problem is going to be more serious. So definitely the developer has to put a big enough sewer system through. Also, the roads. Jubilee and Osborne are the main arteries. And I don't think we should be using the residential streets to bring to feed the traffic. Let the developer on the south end, he can make a road to the Jubilee and Pembina. On the north side, he can go over the tracks to Grant Avenue or past McDonald's. There is already a road and lights there going past McDonald's. No parking. No family has 1.5 cars. Every family has 2 cars nowadays. And if they have kids that drive, each kid has a car nowadays. So they're going to need at least 2.5 stalls per unit. That's all I have to say. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I've just been informed that we need a 10-minute break. So we shall. Just take a 10-minute break, stretch your legs, bathrooms, and we'll be right back, and then we'll start calling out the rest of the names.